opinions aren't right or wrong, and where we can agree or disagree about movies, TV, and other assorted media, because it's all subjective. My name is Ray, and today we're here to talk about tribalism, because my goodness, did we see so much of it on Monday? Oh my goodness, you know what? Okay, tribalism is one of those tricky subjects, right? It's no different than gatekeeping, or like any of the other stuff that we talk about with respect to fan behavior. It's just ugly, and it's a scourge. It really is. It is a scourge. I'm gonna dive right into it. I'm diving right into it tonight. This is rant mode right from the beginning. Cause holy crap, when I woke up Monday morning, I just saw it was awful. It was legitimately awful. What did I see? Well, the thing that wasn't awful that I saw, the one thing that was not awful that I saw on Monday morning, was the Marvel Studios clip. That clip was not awful. And listen, I do want to talk about some of the things that are in that clip. But unfortunately, this clip was a trigger. It was absolutely a trigger for just this massive wave of disgusting tribalism that was all over my timeline. It was bad. It was really bad. And I want to get into it because tribalism really is a problem. It is. And for people that don't quite understand what I mean when I say tribalism, we're going to go to the dictionary here. We're going to go to the dictionary, and we're going to look up the definition of tribalism. Here we go. Noun. The state or fact of being organized in a tribe or tribes. Aha, okay. That's the basic definition. Here is the further definition. The behavior and attitudes that stem from strong loyalty to one's own tribe or social group. Now look, I've talked before about how when it comes to fandoms, especially when it comes to fandoms within a particular genre, we all have our bias. And bias is not a bad word, right? I've said that before. Bias is not a bad word. You can absolutely have your preferences. If you prefer Marvel, great. If you prefer DC, awesome. There is nothing wrong with that. But there is a lot wrong. There is actually a lot wrong when you take that bias too far. And tribalism is when you take that bias too far. Because it's one thing to have a preference for one of these franchises or for one of these studios or source material. It's another thing entirely to express so much loyalty for that particular label or group that it just descends into madness. And what I mean by that is, all I saw on Monday was so many people just fawning all over Marvel, kissing the ring owned by Kevin Feige. It was like the Joker. It was like Griggs and the Joker from Suicide Squad. It was. And I could just hear Feige leaning over to everybody going, "I can tell you meant that." Because they did. They did mean it. And you know why they meant it? Why did I see so much of that on my timeline? I don't follow that many Marvel fans. I don't. I admittedly don't. Because I've tried that in the past. And it's the sore winner mentality has popped up. And I've mentioned the sore winner mentality before, which is this height of arrogance that you hear from a lot of Marvel fans because they're the popular franchise. They're the ones that are in the cultural zeitgeist on a consistent basis. The NBA just did a Marvel night, right? A Marvel thing on ESPN. And of course, that's a whole, you know, that's marketing. You know, and I've mentioned before, when it comes to Marvel, once Disney bought Marvel Studios, like, literally, Disney is the best brand builder on the planet. That's what they do. They build brands, and they build some of the best marketing on Earth ever. Period. For generations, they've been doing this. So, obviously, they know how to market a comic label. They know how to market the Marvel heroes. They know how to market their characters, and that's why you see them everywhere. It's not simply that people remember Marvel. It's in your face. It's everywhere. It's in your sports. It's in your news. It's because Disney owns ESPN. They own ABC. They own it. There's so much there, right? And so it's popular. It's massively popular, and it's been massively popular for 13 years. Right. Cool. Okay. I get it. But you have some fans, not all, but you got some fans that wear that popularity, they let that popularity build their ego up to the size of, I don't know what, to where it won't fit in the room with them. And they're just like, "Oh, well, we're the fans of the winning team. We're the fans of the franchise that everybody likes. You should just come over to the winning team." Somebody told me that. Somebody actually said that to me on Twitter. And that person is lucky I didn't block them. They came close. They came real close. Because that's disgusting. It is. It's disgusting. Get over to the winning team. It's not a flipping scoreboard. It's not sports. You know what I mean? Like this has nothing to do. This isn't a competition in that sense. I've said from day one, I've said time and time again that superheroes are a genre, right? When you talk to people in Hollywood, when you talk to these actors, when you talk to any of these directors or creatives, superheroes are a genre in Hollywood, okay? And it's a genre as far as the general audience is concerned as well. My old boss that I've mentioned many a times, who believed Aquaman was an Avenger, right? And has no distinguishing, no idea. All she sees are capes and superpowers and flight and laser vision and all that. They don't distinguish. So it's ridiculous when fans decide to distinguish like that. And they go too far with it. And that's why I saw so much of it on my timeline. Because I follow a lot of DC fans, obviously. And I have a lot of DC mutuals. And they were going tribal out of spite. They were going tribal out of spite because of the recent stuff that's been going on with Warner Brothers. Right? Because of everything that's been going on with respect to hashtag Restore the Snyderverse. And everything that hasn't happened, right? And the tone-deaf comments from Ann Sarnoff. And, you know, the prepared statements from Jeff Johns about the Ray Fisher situation and all the things that we've heard corroborated by witnesses, like all of that behavior that Warner Brothers just refuses to own up to, and their treatment of the Snyder films and the genesis of the DCEU with relation to what they're doing going forward. They have done such an awful job of that in terms of PR. And so because of all this, and because of all the fan drama, and because of all the angst of it, when Marvel drops a clip like they did on Monday, that was like carte blanche for all these DC fans to basically go, oh, Marvel's is the gold standard. Marvel is getting it done. Marvel, we're all Marvel fans now. Are you kidding me? You serious? So many of you spent the last 3 or 4 years trashing Marvel Studios, talking about how lazy their films are, talking about how boring their content is, talking about how cookie cutter and everything. And listen, I've said my piece about it. And I am one of the nicer ones. People don't think I am. I am one of the nicer ones when it comes to my criticism of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I at least have given it a term like cinematic television. I don't call it trash. I don't call it boring. Do I like all of it? No. Are there things that I wish the Marvel Cinematic Universe would do more of? Yes, and quite honestly, they're doing more of it in Phase 4 on Disney Plus. That's cool. That's exciting. But you're telling me all these people, all you guys that were like trashing Marvel for the last couple of years and really taking a, kind of an anti-Marvel side, or at least being heavily critical of it, all of a sudden are just jumping the DC ship and going to Marvel. You are no better than any of these Marvel tribalists that we've been dealing with for the last 5 years. The ones that have been telling us that Civil War is that BVS is the problem and Civil War is the answer. Those people, you are no better than those people because you're doing the same tribalist bullshit that they're doing. And it's ridiculous. What are you, this allegiance? And that's really what it comes down to. Like, you can be loyal to a fandom, right? You can be, like I said, you can have your bias for Marvel. You can have your bias for DC. You can enjoy whichever studio or whichever content you wish to enjoy. But what I saw on Monday and what you really see at the height of tribalism is loyalty to a corporation. Loyalty to a studio. Loyalty to a parent company, right? So this unwavering loyalty to Disney. Or this unwavering loyalty to Warner Brothers. I'll get to that in a second. And my whole point of that is, why are you giving your unwavering loyalty to a corporation, a studio, a room full of executives that couldn't care less about you as the person and only cares about the green in your wallet, or, you know, the money in your wallet if you have it digitally, like on a debit card or something. That's all they care about, guys. That's all that at the end of the day, someone like Kevin Feige cares about. And I know all the defenders are going to be like, no, he cares about the fans. He cares about, he knows what the fans want. He listens to the pulse of the fans and he continuously delivers great PR and consistent content to the fans. And he did this, you know, I argue with people all the time about how much of a risk did Kevin Feige take with respect to starting the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yes, there was a risk in terms of whether or not people would accept the Avengers, because it was mostly Marvel's C and D list heroes, starting with Iron Man. There was no massive fan base for Iron Man before 2008. There wasn't. Don't lie. Don't lie. I guarantee you, 95% of Iron Man's fan base started in 2008. Before then, who cared? Someone did, but not nearly as many as who cares since 2008. Not nearly as many. And even bigger characters than him, like the Hulk or Captain America or Thor, really? There were that many Thor fans before 2011? Really? This massive groundswell of Thor support was just laying in the weeds, waiting for an opportunity? No, it wasn't. No. So yes, I will absolutely agree that there was certainly some calculated risk, without question, as to whether or not they could get the fans on board, whether or not they could get the general audience on board with the Avengers plan back in the day. And they struck pay dirt with the first Avengers movie in 2012 and made $1.5 billion, and it was off to the races from that point on. And they just, in their assembly line cinematic television way, they built a brand that now is monstrous. It's one of the biggest brands on the planet, if not arguably the biggest brand. And the only reason it's arguably the biggest brand is because it's only been around for 13 years. The Marvel Cinematic Universe, that is. When you put it up against other brands like Star Wars that have been around for generations, or even Star Trek on Paramount Plus, that's been around for generations. Some of these other fandoms have just been around for longer. Even certain DC fandoms, like Batman's fandom or Superman's fandom, have been around for longer. Spider-Man's fandom has been around for longer. So those are where you can have those arguments with that. But the fact of the matter is, I get the risk that he was taking there, but it's not like he's taking a massive risk now, because he's built the brand into something that is consistent and that absolutely delivers on its content, right? And so the fans look at that and they're like, oh my goodness, like, this is what the Marvel fans are getting. And a DC fan right now can look at that and go, I wish that's what we were getting. Right? I saw a meme, like it was a Twitter post, someone was like, how MCU fans are being fed, right? And it was a full plate, right? Like full, you know, meat, potatoes, whatever it was. It was like a giant plate of food, right? And then the picture next to it, what DCEU fans are getting. And it was like this little, like, scrap of bread in the center of a very empty plate, right? So there's a ton of envy right now, right? Lots of envy. And this envy is leading to corporate mentality, like backing a corporate mentality. We've spoken out against tribalism before, right? When we've talked to Marvel fans who literally say the phrase Lord and Savior Kevin Feige, and we have to remind them, guys, he's figured out how to get your money. And he's very good at figuring out how to get your money. And that's his job. That is Kevin Feige's job, to figure out how to get your money into Marvel's ledger, into Marvel Studios' checkbook, right? That is the point. And he has done a phenomenal job with that. And yes, he's a steward and he's an architect and he cares about the source material, again, subjectively to a point, because there are those Ragnarok haters and those Civil War detractors who will tell you just how inaccurate both of those films are. They can probably go through and pick out all the other inaccuracies with respect to the other movies and the comic interpretations. But at any rate, at the end of the day, Kevin Feige knows exactly how to get the Marvel fans' money. But now DC fans are looking at this and they look at the... Look, was the video impressive? Yeah, the video was cool. The video was really cool. And you know, it hits all the buttons. Starting with the fact that it's being narrated by Stan Lee in the beginning. Like, that's just... I mean, how do you fight that? There is no fighting that. It's very emotional. Stan Lee, may he rest in peace, who, you know, we've heard the story, his benevolence, his mindset, all the great stuff. You know, you hear his voice again over clips of the last 13 years of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and this thing does its job. Like, this is a brilliant piece of marketing for Marvel Studios, you know, owned by Disney, the best brand builders on the planet. It's fantastic. It's very well done. And you get the heart going, you know, the heartstrings are tugged even further when you see Chadwick Boseman there. That's still emotional and raw for a lot of fans, not just Marvel fans, but for a lot of fans of his work in general. So this thing absolutely hits on all cylinders, right? And the problem is, DC fans, not all of them, but a ton of DC fans saw this on Monday and went, we wish we had that, let's all go worship the ground that Kevin Feige walks on. And maybe they didn't say that outright, but that's exactly how they were acting. Ridiculous. utterly ridiculous. Tribalism in itself is utterly ridiculous. And you've got two different forms of tribalism that happen, like, with respect to Marvel and DC. First, you have the tribalism between the two companies, right? Like, you have to pick one or the other. Like, it's got to be Macy's or Gimbel's, right? You can't shop at both. You've got to be either a Marvel fan or you've got to be either a DC fan. Bullshit. Ridiculous. You don't have to be a fan of one or the other. You can choose to be a fan of one or the other. But you are not picking sides. It is not a war. Just because you decide to be a fan of one doesn't mean that you are anti the other. That is ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous. It is all superheroes. It is all one consumer product that we are all feeding our money into, that we are all feeding our time and energy and heart and soul into. There are no picking sides with that. And the idea of picking a side and then pitting one against the other is idiotic. It's utterly idiotic. And that's what causes a lot of the fan drama that so many DC fans are sick of right now. It starts with that. This whole idea of trying to pick an extreme, either you're for us or you're for them. Stop it. Shut up with that. I've mentioned before that on Fans Without Borders, we used to have a hashtag that we posited a lot called It's Okay to Like Them All. And the reason we said that is because we were fending off tribalism originally. At that time, you know, on that show, we really did believe in It's Okay to Like Them All. And it's not that we don't believe in it anymore, it's just that our sensibilities and our perspectives have changed over the years, so there are certain things that we used to like then that we don't necessarily like nearly as much now, right? And that happens, right? Fandoms change. Your perspective on fandoms, your perspective on franchises change over time. But the principle still exists. It's okay to like them all. Nobody should be making you choose sides, especially on Twitter. Why are you listening to anybody on Twitter telling you either you're for DC or you're for Marvel? Or this whole idea of, like, what the one dude told me, get on the winning team. Get the hell out of here with that. The winning team? Guess who the winning team is? The winning team is Hollywood. The winning team is Hollywood because they get our money. Whether we're buying a ticket for one of these movies, whether we're paying for premiere access, or whether we're buying Disney Plus on the regular with a monthly subscription. And guess what? Even if you're somebody like me that gets Disney Plus as part of my Verizon subscription, well, they're still getting their cut of money from Verizon because I'm one of those customers that has it. So one way or another, Disney gets paid, right? And it's the same thing with Warner Brothers. If I have my HBO Max subscription, they're getting paid from that. Or if you're an AT&T customer and you get it there, if you're an HBO customer, you get it there, whichever way that you get it, they're getting a cut of that. That's who wins. Hollywood. There is no such thing as Marvel wins or DC. They all win. And from the beginning, as long as superheroes continues to be a popular genre, they all win. They all profit from that. They all get our dollars, our money. This is why tribalism for a corporate studio is ridiculous, stupid, foolish, extremely foolish. And I saw way too much of that on Monday. And it was worse on Monday because it was flip-flop. It was all these people, all these mutuals, all these people that I've seen that have been railing on Marvel for the last number of years because the sore winner mentality has really, like, hit them. Like, they hate the sore winner mentality and the scoreboard mentality as much as I do. And now, because Warner Brothers is screwing the pooch on their PR and absolutely and alienating an entire segment of fans with their rhetoric and their behavior, now all of a sudden you guys want to jump ship and go be fans of the franchise that you've been railing on for the last 5 years. Yeah, that makes sense. That's not hypocritical at all. No, not at all. You guys make fun of anybody that says Lord and Savior Kevin Feige. You made fun of Frosty when he said it on Collider, and now you basically spend an entire day saying the same thing because they're treating their fans better than Warner Brothers is treating you. That's ridiculous. That's utterly ridiculous. And it's tribalism, and it is a scourge, and it causes so much drama. This whole us or them mentality, trying to make it a fight. You know, for all of you guys that don't want drama, for all of you guys that want it to be easier, that want the conversation to be a lot more friendly, you don't want to be butting heads with Marvel fans, you want to be able to enjoy your stuff and you let them enjoy theirs, right? This spite for Warner Brothers towards Marvel, it doesn't help. It doesn't help the conversation at all. Because somebody like me looks at that and goes, oh, really? So what happened to the last 5 years? What happened to all the opinions that we had? What happened to the shared perspectives that we had on the Marvel Cinematic Universe? And, you know, to be completely fair, a lot of the stuff that I saw on Monday that was just fawning over Marvel Studios were from the more extreme perspectives, right? I had tweeted something about kissing Feige's ring. You know, well, I woke up today and saw everyone kissing Feige's ring. I guess that's where we're at, you know, and basically saying that as awesome as that 3 minute clip was that I did watch, it still wasn't going to make me forget the last 5 years of ridiculousness that we've had to deal with from the likes of that fan base. And, you know, there were a number of people that agreed with me. There were a few that took issue with it, and I talked to them, and I said, listen, I don't even know what you tweeted. This is just a general thing based on what I've seen. I didn't single anybody out. I didn't call anybody out, and I'm not going to call anybody out. I'm just going to say that when I saw it, I was taken aback by it. I was very taken aback by it, because I hate tribalism. Tribalism absolutely is not a good thing. You can have your bias, but taking it to tribalism is too far, because there's no reason for you as a regular person to be loyal to a studio. There's no reason for you to be loyal to a corporate entity. That corporate entity does not care about you as a person. That corporate entity cares about how much money you're funneling into them. This is the same reason why I've told DC fans that are angry at Warner Brothers that boycotts won't work. Because guess what? You're replaceable as a fan. The idea that you're going to tell anyone at Warner Media, okay, my money is no good, I will take my business elsewhere, it's the same thing that any one of us working in retail would have told you, knowing that we're a corporate stooge for a giant, for a bigger corporation. We would have looked you in the eye and said, get out. Well, if we could, right? That's that. Maybe, you know, depending on whether or not we want to get fired, maybe we just said that in our head. But all of us, the minute you said, I'll take my business elsewhere, you were probably being dick in the first place. Get out. Go away. And it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, right, this whole customer service thing and, you know, we don't want to lose business. You're a massive corporation. You've got stores and places all over. You know, and in the case of Disney, you've got theaters and you've got outlets. You've got Disney Plus now. Same with HBO Max and Warner Brothers. You've got all these different outlets. And there are millions of people just in the United States alone that you're appealing to. Any one of us is replaceable if we leave. If a group of the fans, like say 100 fans, decide that they're going to boycott the Suicide Squad and dump their HBO Max subscriptions as a result of it, Warner Brothers, Warner Media, they're just going to go and find another 100 from the general audience that will take your place. Absolutely. You know what they'll do? They'll go and find Guardians of the Galaxy fans, and they'll tell them, hey, director of the Guardians of the Galaxy just directed this new Suicide Squad movie with Idris Elba and Margot Robbie. Come watch it on HBO Max. And guess what they'll do? They'll buy HBO Max to watch it. And then your ass is replaced. You sit in your corner with your boycott sign, and you feel good in the interim, but you're not hurting Warner Media by that. You're not hurting any of these companies with that. By the same token, that should lead you not to be tribalist about it, not to buy into this corporate mentality for any of these studios. I am not just saying for Marvel, I'm saying for Warner Brothers. And that's why the whole reaction on Monday was so striking, because it's like, you know, you're basically trading your loyalty for one studio to loyalty to another. They both do objectionable things. Anybody read up on that Alan Dean Foster Disney situation that I mentioned last week? Anybody read up on that? That's real. That's a thing. I can also point you in the direction, any one of us could point you in the direction of the gag orders that Disney has like put out in the past to like the LA Times and other places that wouldn't necessarily do what they wanted, or how they've squeezed smaller theaters for overrun times. Like, there are a ton of business practices that Disney does that are not on the up and up, that are morally and ethically incorrect in many ways. Absolutely there are. It's not just Warner Brothers. It's all of them. If we dig into the closet, we'll find stuff that Comcast is doing. We'll find stuff that Viacom CBS is doing. We'll find stuff that Netflix and Hulu and any of those guys are doing. And those are the streamers. The streamers are not part of the old Hollywood guard, but they are still corporate mentalities. So that's the point of it here. None of these corporate mentalities are worth that much loyalty. And I'm seeing it on both sides, right? Like first you had the DC fans that were so angry and they're so bitter at Warner Brothers that they were just becoming tribal for Marvel on Monday, right? So there's that problem with that tribalism. And then the flip side of that is I see a bunch of tribalism for these people that are just defending Warner Brothers staunchly, right? And they're coming at anybody that tweets hashtag Restore the Snyderverse. So like, we don't know everything. Like, they have a plan. They told us they have a plan. They're doing this. They're doing that. And it's like, listen, dude, okay, you know what? You go ahead and you keep your optimism and you be optimistic, okay? I can only speak for myself. I'm not rooting against any of the future projects that Ann Sarnoff and Warner Brothers is talking about for the future of DC films and the future of the DC Extended Universe. I'm not rooting against any of them. I'm not. But I have extreme doubts and reservations as to whether or not all of them are going to happen. I have severe doubts that the Ta-Nehisi Coates, J.J. Abrams Superman film is ever going to see the light of day. I absolutely have doubts about that. I have doubts about this Jaime Reyes Blue Beetle film. I do. I have doubts. I still haven't seen a proper set photo of Ezra Miller and Michael Keaton on The Flash, so I still just have word and one picture of a mansion that looks like it's the one from Batman 89 to let me know that that one's in production. But I've been down this road before, and so many DC fans have been down this road before where we were told things were going to happen, promises were made to us, and then they were welched on. Ask fans of Ava DuVernay and Tom Taylor who wanted to see the New Gods movie. Where's that at now? Exactly. Exactly. So, healthy skepticism. Some of it is unhealthy. Okay, fine. They go into that realm. But what are you doing telling people not to be skeptical? You know, and why are you painting everybody in hashtag Restore the Snyderverse with the same brush? Where is this unwavering loyalty to Warner Brothers coming from? I hear a lot of this too. Yeah, that was the old regime made those mistakes. These new people are doing the right thing. Oh, really? Ann Sarnoff talking about how Walter Hamada, being her Asian producer, knows the black experience? I am never going to let that go. If you are sick and tired of me saying that on this show, tough shit. I am never going to let that go. Until she apologizes for that, which she never will, I am never going to let that go. The line about we can't have an angry black man at the center of our Justice League movie. Do you realize that one of the executives that was in the room when this was allegedly said is still there? Toby Emmerich. So don't give me this crap about how Jeff Johns and John Berg and Joss Whedon and everybody that was bad was fired. There are still bad roots there at Warner Brothers. And Walter Hamada, who wasn't part of DC Films at that time, but was definitely a part of New Line and was involved in Shazam and had connections with all the producers there, he's there too. He is in charge of DC Films now. So spare me this whole idea of the old regime was bad, this new regime is good. But seriously, what have they done to inspire this much loyalty? Are they paying your bills? Are they putting you through your car? Are they paying off your student debt? Did they save your life? Like why? Where does this loyalty come from? For either of these studios, whether it's Warner Brothers or Disney, why is anybody so fiercely loyal to these studios? They will drop you like a bad habit the second you run out of money. The second you decide you can't afford Disney Plus, they're done with you. They don't even know who you are or know what your name is. You're a number to them. A dollar sign. That is it. But you want to pit people in fights between Disney and Warner Media. What is that? What is that? What do you get out of that fight? What do you get out of this rampant tribalism? This rampant defense of either one of these studios? They are both part of the Hollywood Guard. They are both part of the industry that at the end of the day looks at it, wants to make certain that the ledger is black and not red. That is it. There is nothing that either of these studios do, or that any studio in Hollywood does, that engenders this type of loyalty, where you are literally going to go to bat and fight for them on Twitter or Facebook. And what a great fighting ground, right? Twitter, oh my good. Twitter's like the octagon, oh my goodness. Yeah, right. You get a swollen chest in front of a keyboard and a monitor thousands of miles away from the dude you're talking shit to. Yeah, okay. That's real brave of you. Oh my goodness. Do you feel better about yourself? Do you feel like an important person defending this corporate entity over human beings thousands of miles away where the person you're arguing with and cursing at can't hit you? Oh yeah, that's real courage. Oh yeah. That's ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous. And it goes both ways, and it's just silly, and it causes so many fights. It causes so many dramas. Like, the majority of fans, whether it's Marvel or DC, the vast majority of them just want to watch whatever it is they watch, offer their opinions, and move forward. Okay, most do not want to pick fights, even on Twitter, believe it or not. And Twitter is a haven of, I'm going to pick a fight today. There are accounts on Twitter that exist for the sole purpose of picking fights, for the sole purpose of getting blocked. There are accounts on Twitter that are that toxic, that buy into this tribalist crap, right? But it's not the vast majority. Most real people, most legitimate people, most fans of either of these franchises don't want to fight, are tired of any type of drama. So when you decide to talk about how Marvel is amazing and Marvel is the greatest thing since sliced bread and Marvel can have your baby, or if you talk about how Warner Brothers can do the same for you, you're not adding anything viable to the conversation. You're hurting the conversation, and you're trying to make people pick sides in an imaginary war. This is an imaginary war. This thing between Marvel and DC is an imaginary war. Any time that they've taken shots at the other, it's been it's small potatoes. Oh, okay. Oh, Anthony Mackie's made comments. Who does anyone still care about that? I'm sure somebody does, but why? Why do you still care about whatever the hell Anthony Mackie said however many years ago? Why do you still? You know, there was a thing a week or so ago because a Sebastian Stan quote that I've already forgotten what it is because it was such a non-issue, but that popped up, and it was a six-year-old quote. Oh, it was a comment he made about BVS or about the DC films trying to sound all super important and smart like the Nolan films, like basically trying to copy off of Nolan. It was a thinly veiled shot, right, at Snyder. Some type of beef about the intellectuality of his films when it's just a comic book medium, something to that effect. It's a six-year-old quote that I'm pretty sure Sebastian Stan no longer cares about and probably has forgotten that he even said. Seriously. Why do we care? Why should any of us care at all about that? We make mountains out of molehills within these fandoms, man. And tribalism is just the ultimate pinnacle of that ridiculousness, the ultimate pinnacle of that foolishness. You're literally going to be fiercely loyal to the grave, to a corporation. It makes no sense. It makes no logical sense whatsoever. And it's even worse when you do it out of spite. So I'm sorry, but all you people that have just decided to jump ship and all of a sudden just suckle at the Marvel teat and kiss Kevin Feige's ring because Warner Brothers and Ann Sarnoff and everybody else has screwed you over, you're fools. You're all fools. Every last one of you, if that is what you're doing. You know, it's not like, well, DC has screwed us over, so we're going to go over to Marvel. No, it's not like that. It's absolutely not like that at all. And you know what? If you want to make that decision, you most certainly can, but you do nothing to aid either fandom in that regard. You don't. You just look like a giant hypocrite, because you are a giant hypocrite, especially if you're somebody that spent the last 5 or 6 years railing on the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and all of a sudden they're your best buddy, because they know how to treat their fans right. And look, they do. I've mentioned that already. Kevin Feige absolutely knows how to get Marvel fans money, how to get their attention. You know, as I'm gonna play this, I'm playing this clip right now, and I want to fast forward and like get to the big news, because quite honestly, there was news that came out of this clip, and that was what was reported. You know, after they got through all of the emotional bits, you know, the Stan Lee narration, and then there was that, they put that thing in the middle with the audience reaction to the portal scene in Endgame, and I can listen, anybody that saw Endgame opening night with a crowd, you can vouch that that's real. This probably wasn't my theater in Birch Run, but my theater sounded like this when portals happened. That's real. It is. It's not fake. It's not, you know, like, you know, it's not like a laugh track or something like that. Like, they didn't engineer this. That's probably a real reaction from somewhere that was recorded. Okay. Yeah. But after all that, after all the emotional beats, there was actually some information with respect to new release dates for Marvel Studios projects, right? Like, there was actually new stuff going on, right? Like, obviously, you know, the Black Widow trailer, that's finally coming, right? That's finally going to hit theaters and Disney Premier Access on July 9th. We're finally going to get that, right? And then you have Shang-Chi, pardon me, I mispronounced that. I apologize. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, September 3rd, 2021. Well, we already knew that. We got some clips from Eternals that I really feel like some people just really kind of went overboard with. I didn't feel like that showed us a whole lot. I mean, it's more than what we've seen. I will grant you that. We had seen nothing from Eternals up to this point. And now we've seen a little bit. It wasn't enough. I mean, yes, Richard Madden, cool. Angelina Jolie, cool. I forgot. Kumail Nanjiani, cool. Great. But it wasn't enough for me to be like, oh my goodness. Listen, I'm intrigued to see what Chloe Zhao did with it. After hearing some of the, you know, after hearing all the praise that she's gotten for her Oscar win, I still want to see that film. And, you know, hearing about her process and the stuff that she clued Feige into as far as, like, the creation of the film, yeah, I'm very curious to see what she did as a filmmaker with that. But I'm not like, oh my goodness, right? But November 5th, 2021. Okay, I think we knew that date. All right, cool. But then it's like what the future brings, right? And it will be worth the wait. Dude, they know how to play this. They know how to play this so well. What the future brings will be worth the wait. This is out of the Disney playbook, guys. Disney does this. Disney has been doing this for decades. Seriously. The whole Imaginarium routine, they know how to build brands. This is how they get the general audience on board. Absolutely. This is why I saw general audience members, people and other people that are not parts of our fandoms were tweeting about this, were posting about this clip. This is how they do it. They're very, very good. No one on this earth is better at building brands than Disney. No one. No one. Not a single corporation. This is part of their MO. So what's interesting is that Spider-Man No Way Home, they're sticking with that December 17th date. So we get a month and a half, right? Eternals on November 5th, Spider-Man No Way Home on December 17th. All right. Okay, then. Four movies. And four because of Black Widow. Because, yes, Black Widow's been done for however long and was supposed to be out last year. And really, so was Eternals. Eternals was supposed to be out last year as well. But in order to keep the schedule intact, and again, as I've mentioned, this is cinematic television. In order to keep the assembly line on target, you know, so that it doesn't get too far backed up, this is what they're doing. Three movies, or four movies now. So we're going to get, and it's all in the back end of the year, which is crazy to get flooded with that much Marvel in the back end of the year. And of course, we've already had WandaVision and The Falcon and Winter Soldier on Disney Plus. We're going to get Loki here, and then we're going to hear, you know, obviously, people have seen the set photos from Hawkeye and Ms. Marvel. Like, that's coming. She-Hulk, I think, is going to get going here pretty soon if it hasn't already, right? We know, Marvel is making their big push, and the assembly line is absolutely up and running. There is no question about it. So you got that for the rest of the year, and then Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness in March, March 25th. Thor Love and Thunder on May 6th. Of 2022, and that's one where it's like, all right, well, let's see what they do with that, because I know a lot of people that are real iffy about Taika Waititi on that one after Ragnarok. I know the general audience and like so many of the Marvel fans, they loved Ragnarok. Oh my goodness, that's the best Thor film, because it was a departure from the first two, because they thought the first two were so boring. I could not disagree more with that. But at any rate. So that's in May of 2022. And then here's some of the big news. Probably the biggest new news. There were two big pieces of new news that came out of this clip. We got an official title for the Black Panther sequel. It is called Black Panther Wakanda Forever, July 8th, 2022. Yes, I'm seeing it. Yes, I'm seeing it. I saw Black Panther. I'm seeing all of these. I am. I'm seeing all of these. But if we're talking about any of these films that have a bit more juice for me, yes, this is one of them. Absolutely, this is one of them. This, and I would say Shang-Chi, are probably the two. Yes, absolutely, the two that with people with leads for people of color. Yes, absolutely. Because I want to see if Shang-Chi is the what if it does for the Asian community what Black Panther did for the Black community. I want to see if it does that. I hope it does. I really do. And then of course I want to see the sequel. I want to see what they do. I want to see the story that Ryan Coogler and everyone tells. You know, not only for the next chapter of what happens in Wakanda, but also for the next chapter after the death of Chadwick Boseman. How do they address the situation with T'Challa? What happens going forward? Of course, absolutely. But Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Great title. Great title. Love that title. Works very well. July 8th, 2022. And then here's the next big one. The next big new piece of information. On November 11th, 2022, it's not Captain Marvel 2. It is now called The Marvels. And I didn't dislike Captain Marvel. I didn't dislike the movie. But I didn't think it was necessarily the strongest effort from Marvel Studios. It's in my lower third, right? I've got to do a re-rank of the MCU at some point. I don't know if I'm going to do a full rewatch, which I could do. I could do a full rewatch because I think everything other than the Spider-Man movies is on Disney Plus, and those will join Disney Plus like what the next year or so. I forget when the terms of that deal happen again. But at any rate, I don't know if I'll do a full MCU rewatch, but I do need to do another. It's been a long time since I've done rankings for any of these franchises. But Captain Marvel, I liked it for what it was, but I totally understand a lot of the criticisms toward it for a number of reasons. And those criticisms have led to some trepidation about how the sequel was going to go. For me personally, the fact that they're now titling it The Marvels, I like that. I really like that. Because then that means this is not a story that is going to center completely on Carol. This is now a story that is going to extend to Monica Rambeau, played by Tiana Paris, very well in WandaVision. And Iman Vellani's character, Ms. Marvel, that we're going to be introduced to on Disney Plus. She will be a part of this film as well. I like the idea of The Marvels. I like that premise. I like that kind of story already. So I think that just changing the title to The Marvels gives me some more confidence on how this film is going to go. What I think is very interesting is that right now I'm looking at this November 11th date, and that's real close to The Flash's date. It's like within a week or so of the Flash for DC. That'll be interesting. That will be interesting to see, you know, how release dates change and move. You know, Marvel, generally speaking, when they put something like this out, they don't really move release dates like that. Like the most that we've seen, I think, of them moving release dates, like they move the last couple of Avengers films up and like release them like a couple of days early. But as far as moving with respect to, you know, anything that wasn't related to the pandemic, as far as moving with respect to other films that could potentially be competition for them, they don't seem to do that very much. So that'd be very interesting to see what happens there. But yeah, The Marvels, that was the second biggest piece of news that came out of this clip. November 11th, 2022. That should be interesting. I really do like that title. And then Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, that's February 17th, 2023. So we've got a date for that. So now we've got 2023 dates. Let's see how 2023 dates for Marvel Studios. And this just buys into, you know, what I was talking about earlier about why you had so many DC fans just jump the tribalist line and just start, you know, kissing Feige's ring. And I think that, again, I don't mean that for everybody, but I do mean that for all the responses that I saw, all the people that I saw that were just fawning over it. People that I know have trashed the Marvel Cinematic Universe in the last couple of years, and I don't trash the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I get accused of trashing the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I do not. I am critical of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I offer subjective opinions on what I think the Marvel Cinematic Universe does and what it is as a franchise. But I do not trash the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I don't. I don't even trash Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, which is the only film out of the 23 so far released that I legitimately don't like. I don't trash that franchise. But I saw people that I know have openly trashed movies that I've defended from that franchise, like Avengers Age of Ultron, like Iron Man 3, like Thor the Dark World, Yes, I defend all three of those films out of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. People that I know hate those films were fawning all over Marvel on Monday. Ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous. But at any rate, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Again, 2023 dates. So now we're going out to there. That's February 17th, 2023. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 now has an official date of May 5th, 2023. Because, of course, that is the next project that James Gunn is going to be working on after his tour of duty, you know, promoting the Suicide Squad is complete. Because that's what he's in the middle of right now. That's coming out this August for DC. So that has an official release date. I think that's the last one. Oh, no. Pardon me. Oh, fantastic. Was that a... Oh, okay. The 4 logo came up, right? And it was like, you know, that 4, like with the Marvel Studios, but no date. But everybody knew what that was. It's Fantastic Four. Yes, those are coming. Absolutely. Fantastic Four. And I've said before that when it comes to the future of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the characters that I am looking most forward to by far are the X-Men. I absolutely want to see what this franchise does with the X-Men, and no, we haven't seen it yet, because that little, you know, that bait and switch that they pulled with Evan Peters and WandaVision does not count. Oh no, absolutely, that does not count. There is no question about it. So I'm waiting to see what this franchise does with the X-Men. That's what I'm really, if we're talking about any characters that I'm really anticipating, like, as a whole, like, new characters, that's what I really am anticipating. But yeah, there you have it. Marvel, with this 3-minute random clip that nobody knew was coming. Like, there was no, like, heads up for this. There was no, like, oh, this is what's going to happen. You know, none of that. Like, they just dropped this on Monday morning and blew so many people away. And, you know, on this, it was awful. Because I fully, you know, wanted to, like, get on Twitter and just, you know, watch the clip and talk about, oh wow, well, they've got a date for this, they've got a date for that. I wanted to talk about the stuff that I actually enjoyed out of the trailer, like how awesome it was to hear Stan Lee again, may he rest in peace, and just the culmination of the franchise, and really, in my opinion, it absolutely supports and affirms me calling it cinematic television, because look at everything they've done in the last 13 years, look at everything that they're continuing to do. When you got movies already set and dated through 2023. Come on now. That's assembly line. And it's funny, so many people, they think that when I call it an assembly line process, that I mean that as an insult. Hey, you can take it that way if you like. It's just a method on how to do business, on how to run a franchise. And it's what Marvel has decided to do. I have never once said that it wasn't successful, because clearly it is. It's just the way that they decide to do things. But yeah, I wanted to get on Twitter that Monday and talk about everything that I liked about this clip and didn't really get a chance to, because I was too busy dealing with a timeline full of people that had just flipped sides. You know, and I hate the fact that it's even flipping sides, because there shouldn't be sides. You know what I mean? Like, you can have preferences, but it's all the same genre. If you prefer one over the other, great, but there's no need to treat it like a boundary. Or a you know, like a picket line or something like that. And that's what so many people on Twitter, so many of my mutuals were doing, and so many other accounts that they were retweeting were doing, and it's all out of spite for what Warner Brothers is doing, and it's terrible. And I wish it wasn't the case. This is another one of those things that, you know, we talk about, you know, and so many of us talk about, like, we hate drama. Like, we're tired of the fan drama, we're tired of, you know, all of the infighting, we're tired of all the arguments and everything, like, surrounding it. We just want to be able to enjoy what we enjoy and have our opinions and not have to wade through a bunch of bullshit when we deal with it. And then stuff like this happens, right? You know, and Marvel Studios didn't put that clip out to inspire this massive wave of tribalism from DC fans. That's not why they put that clip out there. They put that clip out there to hype up their own fandom, to give their own fandom the PR that Warner Brothers has failed to give the DC fandom. Failed. Absolutely failed. You know, and I, to that end, I want to bring up something. You know, I was listening to Detroit Sports Radio the other day, that day actually, that particular Monday, because I had some errands to run that morning. And, you know, I have been really kind of, like, iffy on sports radio the last couple of years, because it's really devolved into infotainment and all that stuff. But I was listening, and they were talking about, you know, at the time, they were talking about the Detroit Tigers. And I don't know anybody here is a baseball fan, but if you are, you probably know that the Detroit Tigers are the worst team in baseball. They are awful. They are terrible. They are I don't even think they've won double digits yet. And they had just gone through a series where I think they'd been shut out the entire weekend by the New York Yankees. It was awful. Horrible. And they're supposed to be in the middle of a rebuild. And it's supposed to be this process where the general manager and the owner have been talking about, well, it's going to take however many years, and we're building towards something. And it's been a number of years, like 4 or 5, 6 years, and they still haven't built anything, and this team actually looks worse than it did when the rebuild started, when the reboot started. And so what they were talking about on the radio was, how come the owner hasn't said anything? The owner of the team, Chris Illich, why hasn't he come out and made a public statement? Why doesn't he care about how horrible his team looks right now? Why hasn't he given the fans a status report on why the baseball looks so bad and where the rebuild is? Because he hasn't said anything, right? And I realize that that's what we want from Warner Brothers. That's what we want from DC Films. We want a status report. And no, we did not get it in the Ann Sarnoff article. We did not. Because it was a lot of vagueness, and it was just a lot of what they weren't going to do, and then a lot of vagueness about what they were going to do. It wasn't a specific plan. It wasn't this 3-minute clip. Marvel, in 3 minutes, told you everything that they're going to do as far as the movies goes for the next 3 years. The rest of this year, next year, and 2023. Marvel told you in 3 minutes and 10 seconds. And you know what? In 3 minutes and 10 seconds, they told you what they've done. They reminded you what they've done and how awesome it's been and how much they respect Stan Lee's contribution to it, at least from a PR standpoint. And then they told you what their plans are for the next 3 years. Very distinctly and concisely. They were able to do that. DC can't even do half that. Warner Brothers can't even do half of that. We don't get clips like this. We don't get montages like this because they're too busy changing everything and they're too busy thinking that they're the smartest guys in the room and believing that they can do this and they can do that, and they want to keep everybody in the dark and make things as vague as possible so that they don't set up expectations that they have to live up to. Marvel, on the other hand, is going, well, we've set the expectations and we believe that it is important to let our fan base know that we want to live up to those reputations. See, I get why you guys did that. I get why so many people went the tribalist route. I get it. I do get why. Because if you're that fed up and if you're that sick of Warner Brothers and DC Films at this point, I understand your inclination. I do. I do get it. It just doesn't help to be so strong about it like that. It doesn't help for you to take so much loyalty from one studio and give it to another. You shouldn't have had that much loyalty to either of these studios. Now, I had made a comment, I forget where I made it last year, about how, you know, if Warner Media had played their cards right with HBO Max and Zack Snyder's Justice League, they were in a position where they could gain acolytes for their service. And to be very honest with you, I was speaking not from a standpoint of what fans should do. I was speaking from a standpoint of the type of loyalty that Warner Media could have engendered and actually did engender up until, you know, all this happened within the last couple of months, up until the PR from Sarnoff and, you know, all the other statements that were made with respect to the vagueness of their plan going forward. Warner Media was absolutely in a position where they were going to legitimately have the loyalty of so many fans. Loyalty that, quite honestly, those fans shouldn't be giving them, but were going to give them because they made the Snyder Cut a reality. And there are still people that are going to be that loyal to them, and whether they should be or not, they're still going to be that loyal to them, right? That loyalty is still there, but a lot of it has been burned. And in the case of Marvel Studios, like, that type of loyalty, like, they've had that for years with their fans, and when you release a clip like they did on Monday, it just further reinforces said loyalty, right? And whether or not anybody should have that, whether or not anybody should buy into that, the point is that these studios absolutely grab that, and they have that in their grasp, and they absolutely profit off of that. And it's like, okay, well, it's all business. At the end of the day, it's all business. You know, Marvel Studios puts out this heartstring-tugging, tear-jerking, 3-minute-long clip that gives a lot of information about the future, and it's all marketing. That's what it is. It's a sizzle reel. It's a sizzle reel of marketing to get you hyped up. That is the point of it. That is why it exists. And they put it out there because they are engaging the fans. They're giving the fans something to look forward to. And that is something that Warner Brothers and DC has done a deplorable job of. The last time they did a good job of it was with Fandom. And they're going to do it again with Fandom, but Fandom isn't until October. So what, you're going to wait till October? Where's your hype for stuff now? No, what we get is we get random pieces from Adam B. Vary and Brent Lang and Deadline and Boris Kitt about, oh, well, this is happening. Oh, well, that's happening. Or this person's been cast or that person's been cast. Just random stuff that doesn't has no rhyme or reason, has no plan. Just like, I will put this out on a Wednesday at 9 o'clock. Or put this out on a Friday at 10 p.m. Like, whatever. You know, it's silly. It's disorganized. So I get it. I get why people are fed up with them. But still, that doesn't mean you just fawn all over the other corporate entity or one of the other corporate entities that exists out there. And because all you're doing is just stoking the fire of this ridiculous fight that shouldn't be happening. Marvel and DC fans should not be fighting. There should be no war. And make no mistake, there is no war between the studios. Okay, I don't care what anybody says. There is no war between Kevin Feige and Walter Hamada or Ann Sarnoff. There is no war. There isn't. They are not fighting each other. If anything, they all know the same people and they all run in the same circles and they all know the same creatives and directors and actors, and they're probably, like, exchanging. I mean, come on now. Michael Keaton, who is Batman 89, right? Like, he was Batman in 1989 and 1992, and then he plays one of Marvel's best villains, one of the Marvel Studios' best villains in Adrian Toomes' The Vulture in Spider-Man Homecoming back in 2017, and he's in the Morbius movie, right? He's in the trailer for the Morbius movie that Sony's eventually going to release as part of their universe of Marvel characters, the Sony Cinematic Universe of Marvel characters, right? But now he's coming back to play Batman 89 in The Flash, right? Like, for the DCEU. So it's like, whatever. You know, it is what it is. We've gone through this. Lawrence Fishburne was Perry White in Man of Steel, and then he played Goliath in Ant-Man and the Wasp. You know, like, it happens. It is what it is, you know? It's not a big deal for them. They don't fight. Because for them, it's all superheroes. That's how it should be for us. It should be all superheroes. Just because we may prefer one over the other doesn't mean that we should fight with each other about it. It never means we should fight with each other about it. That's why tribalism is such a scourge, because we should not be fighting over Marvel versus DC. Unless you're playing a Marvel versus DC video game, you should not be fighting between Marvel and DC. There should be no fights. I should be able to have more Marvel fans as mutuals. I should. And it's not that I don't have any Marvel fans as mutuals, it's just that I have to be real careful, because that sore winner mentality will pop up and that arrogance will pop up and it's like, it's game over, it's all she wrote, I can't deal with that. That shouldn't be the case. That should not be the case, because that's part of the tribalist monster as well. This whole ego-driven approach, because your stuff is on ESPN, and you got Stephen A. Smith talking about Thanos, and you got this, and you got that, right? Oh, and because of that, you clearly are a fan of the better franchise. It's all subjective. I shouldn't have to worry about my franchise, my favorite franchise, getting torched by you just because yours is better organized and more of the cultural zeitgeist because of how incredible the parent company has built its brand up. I shouldn't have to worry about that. But I do have to worry about that because tribalism is a scourge, and that's all a part of it. And it, you know, it's the same with any Marvel fan that tells me that they can't have a whole lot of DC fans because, you know, they're just fans of Snyder and they talk this or talk that. They shouldn't have to worry about that either, right? It goes both ways. As much as we shouldn't have to worry about the sore winners over on the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and sore winner, of course, is a thematic term. You know, it's not an objective term. It's a descriptor in terms of how those fans act. You know, just to clarify. But as much as we shouldn't have to worry about the sore winners in the Marvel fandom, they shouldn't have to worry about the toxic Snyderverse fans in the DC fandom, right? It goes both ways. And there are things that both of us should be able to do and unfortunately can't. But I am not, you know, I'm anti-tribalism, most certainly. I detest tribalism. I don't like it at all. And, you know, this whole idea of pitting one over the other, it's stupid. It's utterly stupid. And I don't do it. You know, if you were a fan of one over the other, cool. Just don't talk crap about the other. Like, it, and don't, and don't do the hiding thing where it's like, well, I'm just giving my opinion. No, listen, there's a difference between saying I like Marvel more than I like DC, or I, in my opinion, Marvel is better than DC. There's a big difference between saying that and saying Marvel is incredible and DC is a piece of shit. Like, there's a big difference in terms of your wording. Do not hide behind the laziness of, I'm just giving my opinion. No, you're picking a fight, dumbass, when you choose inflammatory language. And you know what inflammatory language is. Don't act obtuse. Don't act like you're brand new about it. You know exactly what you're doing, especially if you're on Twitter. If you're on Twitter, you know exactly what you're doing and how to do it because there are thousands of examples on exactly how to do it. Don't be like them. Be better than that. Have your preference, but don't take it further, and don't put people in a position where they gotta pick sides, where they gotta pick the winner, or stick with the loser, down with the ship, whatever it is. It's stupid. It's ridiculous. We should not be fighting over this shit. There's no reason for it. So knock it off. And don't stop giving your loyalty to these corporations, my goodness. If you want to pay for their stuff, cool. If you want to like the movies, great. But don't act like they're just these immaculate saviors. And oh my goodness, I want what they have. And I'm just going to prop them up because they really are the Lord and saviors. No, don't do that. Why? They would never do that for you. They don't even know who you are. You think they follow you on Twitter? No. No, even if they say they follow you on Twitter, that's their intern that follows you on Twitter, if that is the case. Right? Sorry. No, it's ridiculous. And you know, tribalism, it goes right up there with gatekeeping, and it goes right up there with, like, so many other ridiculous fan behaviors and all the toxic stuff. It just doesn't help anybody. Doesn't benefit anyone or anything in the conversation. It doesn't even benefit the studios. Tribalism doesn't even benefit the studios, to be honest with you, because they don't need wars. They don't need fights. They don't need drama. They need you to spend money. And go see these movies and buy these streaming services to watch the Disney Plus content or to watch the HBO Max content. They don't need fighting. They don't need drama. That's not what it's about. They want you happy. They want you happy and willing to, you know, ready for more of it. You know, hey, what's the next thing coming out? Let's go see it. Let's watch it. That's what they all want you to do, right? So tribalism doesn't help anybody. So don't engage in it. I sure am not. So there you have it. Rant mode on tribalism. I said I was going to do it, especially after what happened on Monday, because, wow, that was ridiculous. Again, I didn't single anybody out, so you know what? If you think that I was talking about something that you said, well, I might have. I might be. I might not be. I can't tell you one way or the other. In fact, even to this point on Wednesday, I don't completely remember everybody that who's I saw, right? Like as far as names go, I just remember what I saw. I just remember the sentiment that was flooding my timeline that whole morning, that whole day, really. That's all I remember. So don't take it personally, right? There's no need for you to take it personally because I haven't pointed the finger at any of you, and I'm not going to point the finger at any of you. I'm just going to say that if you were engaging in said tribalism, kindly knock it off. Because you're not helping things. Not helping things at all. And I get you're mad at Warner Brothers. I get that you're spiteful about what they're doing. But jumping ship and treating this like a war, like this tribalist war, like you've crossed a picket line, does nothing for anyone. It gives you short-term gratification, and then that's it. Then you look like a fool the entire rest of the time for whatever it is that you're doing. Because you're giving your unholy allegiance to a corporation that only wants your money. So, with that, that is going to do it for this particular episode of the Flightcast, the tribalist discussion, the tribalist rant, if you will. Not nearly as animated as some of my previous rants, but definitely emotional for sure. I definitely passionate, indeed, as any of my rants and discussions are on here. As always, thank you so much for listening to the show. I greatly appreciate it. I love everybody that has been sending in the feedback and has been saying keep up the good work and all that. It is very humbling to know that there are so many people that actually do listen to this show, and I greatly appreciate it, and I welcome any and all future feedback. As always, I can be reached by email at ray@theflightcast.com. I'm also on Twitter at The Flight Cast, of course, and I have the Facebook page, The Flight Cast, which I haven't updated in a while. I really need to get back on that. But Facebook has changed a bunch of stuff with their algorithms for pages and everything, so there's a bit of navigation there. I've also got Instagram. I need to start posting some more stuff to Instagram. And, of course, this show and my blogs can be found at theflightcast.com. And also, this show can be found in any of your podcatchers, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, all that stuff. All that good stuff, for sure. Hopefully to get on some more in the future. So, thank you guys, as always, for listening. Take care. Stay safe out there. See you on Saturday.